'tis the season to announce if you're running for city council or for mayor, but not for Mark Tiratilli, because he never really stopped running for mayor, even after narrowly losing to normal mayor Chris Koos in 2017. Now they're headed for a rematch next spring. Tiratilli speaks with Ryan Denham.
There's a lot of things that need to change in normal. They needed to change 4 years ago. Those things haven't gone away. They've actually doubled down on some of them. So we have a significant debt load in the community. We talked about that in the last campaign. They're talking about bonding again. They have a smart cities initiative, which they want to have intelligent streetlights or things like that. Google already provides those things for free. And at the last year's financial meeting, the financial manager said, if we're going to do that and we're committed to it, we're going to be bonding again. They want to do Uptown 2.0 south of the tracks. That's about another $100 million of investment. And we just can't afford to do that now. So it's not that I'm opposed to projects in particular. It's that the way we've consistently done it has put an added burden on us. So for the $100 million that was spent to borrowed to do Uptown, $50 million will be paid in interest by the time those bonds are done. I mean, that's just money that's thrown away. So a lot of these projects are fairly small, $5, $7, $10 million, if you consider that small. But the point is that can be accumulated in a couple of years and paid cash up front. So the short answer is that I want to see some different dynamics about how we go about our business. And I want to bring representation back to the councils. So many of the people in this community feel like their voices aren't being heard, whether it's over the mural in Uptown, whether it's the firehouse that was put over in Blackstone Trails, whether it's what's going on with Connect Transit, whether it's just even being able to speak publicly at a council meeting. People feel like they're being excluded from the conversation. And I drastically want to change that, and it needs to happen.
The town council is a different place than it was 3.5, 4 years ago. One of your allies, Stan Nord, is now on the council. What do you make of his tenure so far?
Well, he's done what he said he was going to do. He was going to listen to the people, actively solicit their input, and try and represent them on the council. And he's done that, and he's done it face on into the wind. So that has been a shift.
So some have criticized Stan Nord for what they would say is detracting from this collaborative culture that has historically existed on the council. If you were elected as mayor, how would you address those relationships?
I agree there needs to be collaboration and there needs to be professionalism, but it doesn't need to be uniformity. And so Normal is in a unique situation where we elect all the council members at large. There are no districts, there are no wards. So you don't have your particular council person representing you and then somebody else on the other side of town has someone representing them. So what happens, and this is what has been part of the problem over the last 20 years, is that you wind up with a monolithic council. Whatever that one attitude was, that's a winner-take-all. And so now you have all these ideally suited voices on the council. And I think what happens is then you drift away from the other voices in the community, and that's been the problem. So I welcome a diversity of thought on the council. I welcome those tougher dynamics. It's a lot messier, but there needs to be give and take. I mean, that's why our government is set up the way it is. It takes longer to get through a meeting. It's a messier process, but it's far more healthy. And when you finally do reach a consensus and a conclusion and you get to a vote, then at that point, all parties have felt like, yeah, what I thought was said in that meeting and my voice was represented. And so now we've come to a decision, but we can move on from here.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Mark Tiratilli, who's running for mayor again next spring in a potential rematch against normal mayor Chris Koos. So, Mark, I want to pivot here to COVID-19. Big picture, what do you think the role of town government should be in pandemic protection?
Really, that falls under the county health organizations and getting direction from them. I think the role of government is to preserve the resources and the freedoms that we have. And so I was really critical of the mayor's actions, not because of the actions themselves, whether or not they're going to work. Nobody really knows the answer to that. But what he did was he used executive privilege and just single-handedly, without any public input, discussion, or warning, issued or set up the possibility of citations and fines to businesses, to individuals who had no say-so in how that was going to impact them whatsoever. So those are the types of things that we don't need in a pandemic. We don't need people to get upset that, hey, what is this? I'm being treated unfairly. That just adds to the frustration.
But I guess I'll challenge you on that one point that the public didn't have input. I mean, theoretically, they elected the mayor, right, knowing that he has certain powers to do certain things. So didn't they have a moment of input during that election?
That's a fair question, but the mayor wasn't elected with those powers in mind. He assumed those powers in March from a very obscure part of our town code dating back to the 1970s. And it was meant to deal with fast-moving crises like riots. You know, it was during the Vietnam era. And so there's restrictions on no gasoline in bottles, right? Molotov cocktails. They're trying to restrict that, that sort of stuff. So, and it was portioned out in a matter of hours, you know, that 48 hours was the maximum limit. Then it had to be reviewed, those sorts of things. So those powers were never intended to be used for a slow-moving crisis where you could convene the council and where it would go on for 6 months.
So setting aside that criticism of the process, what do you think of the actual idea? You know, prohibiting large gatherings, requiring bars and restaurants have their customers stay seated?
You know, nobody knows for sure if they're going to work. I can think of a lot of ways that people will get around them. You know, is 10 the right number? We're basing this on science. Is there a study that says 10 is more effective than 9 or 11? We don't have that data. So these things are kind of shots in the dark. The mask restriction is really not much different than what the governor had already issued. If people are standing up, well, occasionally they're going to take a drink of water, just like, you know, I'm doing here in the studio. Now are we going to have people all of a sudden in their face about masks on this? Again, it's the more the government tries to tinker with the process, I think we have unintended consequences where people start getting in each other's faces and getting aggravated, which is not what we want during a pandemic crisis.
I want to pivot to another kind of part of the COVID discussion, the financial aspect of it. During a recent interview with another radio station here in town, Cities 92.9, you said the town of Normal was in great financial shape compared with many other communities, but it needed to tighten its belt more to prepare for the loss of revenue potentially coming from COVID as people shop less or go out to eat less, mm-hmm. what have you. So what sort of belt tightening do you have in mind?
Well, something like the Smart Cities project, what they've admitted is going to cost them millions and millions of dollars. We don't need to be doing that right now. The underpass, there is no requirement for us to build an underpass. If we do nothing, Amtrak, Union Pacific, the federal government, everybody is fine with the way Uptown is built right now. We have our reasons for wanting to do something different maybe, but there is no requirement that we move forward on that project. We're talking about Trail West already, and we haven't even broken ground on Trail East, and those are projects where they're going to dole out millions of dollars in incentives yet again. So those are the types of the things that we need to be restricting. And on top of that, we've got to look at our pensions. They funded the pensions less than they had in the past this last go-around. So despite 15 years of consistent property tax increases, the funding percentage levels got lower and lower. So we need to do something different. We needed to do something different long before the pandemic came along.
So 4 years ago during the campaign, you made some pretty pessimistic projections about town debt and cast doubt on its positive bond ratings. Mm-hmm. Those have not necessarily come to pass. How should voters weigh the last 4 years and your views then versus your views now?
Well, the negative aspect of it was the opportunity cost, the money that's been wasted. You know, we're still paying interest on these. Some of the bonds that we have, we do not pay principal on. We just pay interest. We're throwing money away on those things. And they keep saying, well, we have stable streams of income for them. It's based on the hotel motel tax or it's based on the sales tax. Those things have taken a huge drop. So the negative aspects that I was talking about are the liability when something goes wrong. When we have a lot of debt and something goes wrong, then we're in a riskier position. And that has come to pass. We're not sure where the income is coming from. The $10 million shortfall that they were talking about was before ISU decided that they were going fully online in the fall. They were predicating that on students will be back in full force and our economy will be kind of back up to steam again. So the projections are actually going to wind up worse than that.
4 years ago, you were pretty critical of the Rivian tax incentive agreement when it was approved, and you've continued to criticize it after the fact. At one point, you suggested demolition would have been preferable to bringing Rivian into the plant and seeing it fail. Is that right?
So it's not that I wanted to see them tear the place down. Even Mayor Coos, when I've talked with him, has said, we didn't even have a pin to hang our hat on the wall about this deal. They had no idea if Rivian would succeed. And the question was about jobs. And we said, well, we know if they take it down, there's going to be hundreds of jobs for at least a year. That is a huge facility that needs to be taken apart. It would be a tragedy for that to happen. So the problem was, let's say Rivian did fail. Now you have a derelict property and you don't have anybody in position to demolish it cost effectively. The reason why the organization was in to broker that deal was they had all the stuff in there, all the robots, all the forklifts, all the tools, everything that was in that plant, tens of millions of dollars in inventory was still there so that they could sell it off and make a profit on demolishing the building. That's all gone, right? Rivian got rid of all that. Now, if they fold with an empty plant, there's no incentive for any, you know, wrecking crew to come in and try and get a profit out of it. Now we're stuck with a derelict building. That's the nightmare scenario. That's when the property taxes tank and the school is stuck. So that's why I was saying what I did, that you're taking a huge risk. And if you're, you know, there is a real risk here, and it would be safer actually to tear it down than take a huge risk if you're not certain about that risk.
Were you wrong about Rivian?
They beat the odds. They really did. You know, I believe they're going to be successful. They're not there yet, but you know, $7 billion can solve a lot of problems. I've worked in industry. I've seen the types of problems that are involved with automation. Money can solve a lot of them. So they have beaten everybody's expectations. And even when they were here, so going back over 4 years ago, or about 4 years ago, you know, very quickly after talking with RJ and the other executives in the company, I realized these guys have something going for them. I wasn't opposed to Rivian. I mean, who wouldn't want a successful company with worldwide recognition producing thousands of jobs in the community? I'm not opposed to that. But what I was opposed to was the deal itself. Why in the world they needed to give up the school district's money to support that? That was the real problem, and that's why I fought it so hard.
That's Normal Mayor candidate Mark Tiratilli speaking with Ryan Denham. He's headed for a rematch against Normal Mayor Chris Coos in the spring 2021 election.